All right, folks, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11, for the message tonight. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 1, and we're just going to read a few verses. The story is rather lengthy, but I'm not going to read the whole story to you. Matter of fact, this story is very lengthy. We could technically read down to, around verse 57, maybe. That's the whole chapter, by the way. I just want to pick a couple of things out of the first part of this and develop my message around a thought tonight that I hope will encourage your heart. All right, let's begin in verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." Now notice that John puts a little parentheses and says it was that Mary, or this Mary, that was the brother of Lazarus, all right? It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. All right, so you know this family, Lazarus, the brother, Mary, and Martha, the sisters. And evidently, their parents were deceased, and they lived under the same roof. And, of course, they knew the Lord Jesus. They believed that he was who he claimed to be. And he often spent time in their home when he was in Jerusalem. All right, so verse 3 says, "Therefore his sisters," all right, so get the premise now, "Lazarus is sick," verse 1. "And so the sisters, Mary and Martha, the sisters sent unto Jesus, unto the Lord, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." He whom thou lovest is sick. Now you remember the story, don't you? The Lord waits, and he does not just immediately go to Bethany, but he waits. And a few days pass. Lazarus, in the meantime, passes away, and as is in line with Jewish tradition, when you pass, you are immediately buried before the sun goes down. All right, so he passed away and was buried, and he was in the ground now for a few days, and the Lord Jesus then shows up. The Lord Jesus comes to where they were mourning. And so when he showed up, then the Lord Jesus called for Lazarus to come forth. He asked the young men to remove the stone that was in front of the tomb. And when they did, he cried, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus walked out of that tomb. All right. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." So he brought Lazarus back from the dead. What a miracle. What an amazing miracle that was. And it takes about 57 verses to tell the story, because John involves a multitude of people, because something as big as this would indeed involve a multitude of people. All right? But I want us to concentrate on the first part of this, and I want to take a little scene here. I want to take a little scenario here and develop my message around that thought. And I'm going to entitle the message tonight, Handling Times of Trial. Handling Times of Trial. Now, I know that nobody in this room ever has any trials, but you know you might down the road. So I'm going to ask you please to pay attention and get some ammunition so that when the time comes, you will know how to handle the times of trial. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, we love you tonight and just come rejoicing in your word and in your blessing. And Father, I pray that you will help me tonight as I speak. I want to be a blessing. I want you to empower the message from on high. And Father, I want your word to make a difference in our hearts. Help us not just to sit here and nod our heads in agreement and say, yep, I agree with that. But Father, help us to listen carefully and to apply the word of God and hide it in our hearts so that we won't sin against you. And Father, if we have a little ammunition so that when the devil comes at us with everything he has, we have a little ammunition so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, oh my, that would be an honorable thing. And Father, you would get the glory. And so I pray that you will help us to just get some tools tonight that we can use to serve you. So bless us now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. In the little town of Bethany, which was just a little outside of the city of Jerusalem, there was a home that was frequently visited by the Lord Jesus and by his disciples. And that was the home of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. This was, as far as we can tell, as fine of a Christian home as can be found in all of the New Testament. These three were all related, brothers and sisters, and they went out of their way to welcome the Lord Jesus and always threw open the welcome mat and showed great hospitality when the Savior was in Jerusalem. Now, these three loved the Lord Jesus. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think there's any doubt about that. These three loved the Lord Jesus. And that is demonstrated for us in a few things that are recorded in the Gospels. For example, we're told right here in verse 2 that it was Mary who was the woman that came and anointed the Lord with a precious and expensive ointment and then wiped his feet with her hair, showing her devotion and her love to the Master. And of course, they knew that the Lord Jesus loved them as well, which was why the messenger that they sent, who was probably somebody that served in their home, and therefore the Lord Jesus knew this fellow when he came, but of course the Lord knew him because he's the Lord, but it was a familiar face when he brought the message from the sisters to the Lord Jesus. And when that messenger came, here's what he said. He said, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, folks, if you stop and think about it, that could have been anybody on the planet. All right? That could have been anybody on the planet. Because certainly the Lord Jesus loved everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so that's why John added for us in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But now here's the little thing that I want you to see. In spite of this great relationship that the Lord had with these three. And in spite of the great relationship that these three enjoyed with the Lord, notice they still had a tragic situation that hit their home. You know, none of us are exempt. None of us are exempt. You say, well, we've been doing pretty good. Well, buckle up then. Because I guarantee you, before long, some trial, some trouble is eventually going to come your way. Because you see, no one is exempt. And Lazarus became sick. Now, we do not know the nature of his sickness. The Bible does not tell us. But evidently, he continued to get worse and worse with each passing day. And so the sisters thought, wow, you know, if only Jesus were here. If only Jesus were here. So they sent a message to the Lord Jesus, letting him know that Lazarus was sick and that they needed him to come immediately. And you know the story. Lazarus ended up dying before the Lord Jesus came to Bethany. Not only did Lazarus die, but he had been dead for 4 days. 4 days. He was in the tomb for 4 days, buried in the tomb. And Martha and Mary both said the same thing when they looked up and saw the Lord Jesus coming. Both of them said, Master, if thou hadst been here, our brother would not have died. And both of these girls were just broken and so distraught over the fact that their brother passed away before the Lord Jesus could get there and heal him of whatever illness had struck his body. This trying of their faith was something that moved both Martha and Mary to the brink of despair. Now, I want to use verse 3 as a text verse tonight. And I want to speak to you and show you what to do when trials come upon us. All of us are going to have our trials as we go through life. We cannot escape them. And so if we're all going to have to deal with them and face them, doesn't it stand to reason that we ought to have a plan so that when it's our turn to go through the trial, we go through it with flying colors, don't you think? But I think most people, they never think about that. And then when the trials come, in most cases, it just knocks the socks off of them. Now, folks, we cannot escape the trials. Now, if so far in your life, you have managed to just sail through with no major trial impacting you, then you ought to be sitting here this morning throwing your hands up in the air and praising the Lord to the top of your lungs. Because they're coming. All right? They're coming. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just trying to get you to face reality. They're coming. So let's realize that there is a way to handle the trials of life. Now, from verse 3, let's just take a couple of minutes tonight and let's learn about handling the trials of life. Folks, you may not need this instruction this evening. You may be just flying high right now. Everything's great. You've got no problems. Everything's just great. But you will need this message one of these days. So please allow yourself to listen carefully and to learn a couple of basic Bible truths that are given in the Word of God that will be helpful when it is your time to deal with the trials that are certainly going to be coming your way one of these days. Just a couple of things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see the conduct in the trial. The conduct. How do we behave in the trial? What should our conduct be when the trial comes? If you look at verse 3, I want you to notice what the Bible here says. It says in verse 3, Lazarus is sick, therefore, did you catch that? Lazarus is sick, therefore, in other words, this is what they did, and it would do us all good to do what they did. Okay, Lazarus is sick, therefore, his sisters sent unto him. And the him is Jesus. The him is Jesus. I want you to see the conduct in the trial. The sisters sent word unto the Lord. You see, folks, when trials come, sadly, we seldom seek the Lord Jesus for help. Now, for some reason, we get on the phone and we share our troubles with anyone who will listen, don't we? But we don't take it to the Lord. No, very few do, and it's sad. It's so sad. We get on the phone and we share our troubles with anybody who will listen. We go to Facebook and we announce our troubles to the entire universe. And it's so strange to me that we are like that. It's so strange to me that we are like that. But it's our world today, I guess. And that's just the way the majority of people are in our world today. I don't want the whole world knowing what's going on in my life. Amen. But evidently a lot of people do. But we do not tell the Lord about our troubles. You know, we'll tell Facebook, we'll tell the world, but we won't stop and tell the Lord about our troubles. And folks, just think about it. The people that we tell our troubles to are, for the most part, completely unable to do a single thing to help us in our trial. They can't help us. And we bypass the one that can help us. And that's the Lord. We just bypass the Lord. If sickness comes, man, the first thing we do is we call the doctor. And I'm certainly not against calling the doctor when you're sick. Please don't misunderstand me. But why not call on the Lord first? I mean, it only stands to reason, does it not? He is, after all, the great physician. But we don't run to him. Instead, we run to anybody that will listen to us. And so these two sisters conducted themselves correctly in that they called on the Lord Jesus when they had a problem and called on the Lord Jesus first. Please keep that in mind. Jesus was not their backup plan. Amen. Jesus was not their backup plan. He was their first choice. And notice, they simply told the Lord about their problem. The girls just sent that messenger, and their message was this: Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. That's pretty simple, don't you think? I mean, that's real simple. And you will notice here that this messenger didn't even use Lazarus's name. Didn't even use his name. And I'm thinking that the Lord recognized this man who came with the message He recognized him as being employed by Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And so when he said that, that he whom thou lovest is sick, there, I mean, the Lord Jesus knew exactly who he was talking about. And he was thinking to himself, well, you know, if I tell him that the man that he loves is sick, surely that's going to motivate him to come. You know, I mean, surely that's going to motivate him. Well, folks, listen, I can tell you that the Lord loves you. All right, I can tell you that. The Lord loves you, and he loves you, and he loves you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and all over this building. The Lord loves us, all of us. There is not a person in this room but what the Lord loves you dearly. And so the point is, they simply brought their problem to the Lord. And they did because they knew that the Lord Jesus cared. Folks, that was the message. He whom thou lovest is sick. And they just sent word that the one that you love is sick. And they did because the Lord Jesus is indeed the one who cares. We sing a hymn every now and then, mainly on Wednesday nights is where I remember singing it. Some Sunday nights, I guess, but it's are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Just tell it to Jesus. And I'm sure that the girls were very heavy hearted over their brother's condition. So I think that they conducted themselves in a most wonderful way. They sent word to Jesus and told him their brother's condition. They said, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, notice something else here. They did not tell the Lord Jesus how to fix the problem. Amen. They did not tell Jesus how to fix it. They just simply told him the problem. And they did not say, now, Lord, we want you to do this. Or, Lord, we want you to resolve this situation in this fashion. No, they simply sent word to the Lord Jesus and told him their problem. You see, folks, life is a lot less complicated when we keep the Lord Jesus informed on all that we're thinking and doing. Just walk with him. That's what it means. Just walk with him. When the Bible talks about us walking with the Lord, it's not walking 10 steps behind him. And it's not walking 10 steps in front of him. No, it's walking with the Lord. He's by your side. And when you're walking with someone, surely you're going to be talking to the person that you're walking with. And so that's what they did. They just sent word and they said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Let me tell you something, Christian. When we pray, we do not have to inform God of the latest current events. He knows exactly what's going on in this world. He already knows those current events. We do not have to tell the Lord what to do. We don't have to do that. But when we pray, we are showing God that we are trusting in him to help us with the trouble that we are facing. We're saying, Lord, I can't handle this, but you can. You can. All right? So first of all, that's the conduct in the trial. Now, secondly, I want you to notice the condescension in the trial. The condescension in the trial. You say, well, Pastor, how do you see that there is a humbling effect here, that there is someone who is humbling himself and submitting himself to the Lord's authority. Well, I noticed that because this man approached the Lord. He was sent by the sisters, but when he approached the Lord, notice the manner in which Jesus approached, or which he approached Jesus. He came to him and he said, before he ever said, what was his first word? Lord. Lord. He wasn't the Lord. He recognized Christ as the Lord. Folks, that's a condescension on his part. I mean, he realized who was in control. He realized who had the superiority in that conversation. This message from the sisters was a recognition of our Lord's superiority to every situation. Every situation. This message was them simply saying, Lord, we submit to you. We want your will, not ours. Amen. We want you, not our will, to be done. You know, folks, in our world today, there is very little deference given to anyone anymore. There is no deference given to authority. It is so shameful. Our policemen are being shot in the streets. And they're being shot by people who think that they're doing the world a favor. That's sick. That is sick behavior, folks. I remember when I was a child, you had to address your elders with respect, and you had to recognize their authority. And if my dad ever heard me refer to another adult in a negative way, or sass an adult, or use even their first name, you would have had to hire a professional crew to come in and scrape me out of the cracks of the wall. That's right. But man, that's gone today, isn't it? Huh? That's gone today. Everybody calls everybody what they want to call them. I mean, even adults, children calling adults by their first name. I've heard adults in the store call their mother by her name. And I've heard mom turn around and look at them and say, I'm your mother. No, not now, you're not. I tell you don't know which one to spank in situations like that. You know what I mean? Do you spank the mother? Do you spank the child? Both. Well, you get thrown in jail, but that doesn't keep you from wanting to, does it? And folks, an even bigger problem today is our failure to give God deference. I mean, even a bigger problem. The reason that we don't give God deference is because of the way we treat one another. We don't give one another deference. I've been working on something. It's been difficult, but I've been working on something. I've been working on not getting angry when somebody pulls in front of me. Hey, you laugh, but you're guilty too. I've been working on that. Matter of fact, I did something yesterday that I even shocked myself. I stopped and I went, yeah. And you know what? I felt good. I mean, that's better than hanging out the window and yelling at somebody. I felt good about that. I'm going to keep working on it, too. My wife would get a kick out of that. She says, you're the most impatient man I've ever met. I said, yeah, but you married me. Folks, We need to give God some deference in our lives. I've had people say, I just wish God would leave me alone. That's a dangerous statement. I had a teenager say that to me one time. I just wish God would leave me alone. I said, you don't mean that. Yeah, I do. I said, no, you don't. Trust me. If you have ever thought that in your heart, if you have ever wished that the Lord would just leave you alone, you are forgetting something very, very important. You are forgetting that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. That means He is the highest of the high. There is no one above Him. And you are saying that you don't want the King of Kings, not just the King, but the King of all kings. And folks, read Revelation. You're going to see that every single knee is going to bow before Him. The whole universe is going to bow before Him. He is not just a king. He is the King of all the other kings. And He is not just the Lord. He is the Lord of all the other lords. And what does that show us? Well, it shows us, folks, that no one can ever or will ever be on the same level as what He is. Even the greatest king on this earth will never be on the same level with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is and will be always above them all. And that is how the sisters approached the Lord Jesus, humbled, respectful, and recognizing His ultimate superiority. You know what we do, folks? We run to our friends and we tell them, what are you saying? Are you saying your friends are greater than the Lord? Well, they're not. They're not. That's something to consider, isn't it? Number three. I want you to notice number three, the commendation in the trial. The commendation. I want you to look carefully at verse 3 again. Just look at it. There's one little word here that I want to pull out and build upon. Look at the one little word, all right? Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou, what's the next word? Lovest. That's a commendation toward the Lord Jesus. That is the sisters saying to the Lord that they are commending Him for His character, for His person. He is loving. He is a loving Savior. He is not, and I repeat, He is not someone who just likes this one and that one, but He doesn't like that guy over there. No, He loves everyone. It's His personality. It's His character. Folks, in pleading for the Lord Jesus to help, the sisters did not plead their own character. They did not plead their own merit. No, instead, they pleaded the character of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. They said, Lord, He whom Thou lovest. I'm sure everybody in there went, what? Man, people don't love others. What are you talking about? But Jesus did. And that servant knew, Mary and Martha knew that Jesus loved them. And so if there was ever two human beings who had a bushel basket full of merit, it was these two gals, Mary and Martha. They could have said, Lord, you know how much we love you. No, they didn't do that. Instead, they said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. He whom thou lovest. Folks, the point is, you want to come to the Lord and plead his character so that he will help you in a time of need. And why would he help you? Why would he help me? Here's the reason. Because he loves you. That's why. In the plea, they praised the Lord Jesus. Do you remember when Job was suffering so badly and was going through that great trial that he had to endure, a trial that would have crushed just about any other person? Well, Job's wife came to him in chapter 2 in verse 9, and she shook her fist at him and said, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just curse God and die? And sadly, that is exactly what a lot of folks today do. They cuss. They quit. When the trials of life come upon them, they just give up. They just throw in the towel. They curse God. Why is God putting me through this? Well, why not? I mean, are you that special? Should you not have to endure a little chastening or a little conforming? Huh? So instead of getting angry at God when something comes along, why not just go to the Lord and praise him for who he is? Amen. You don't have to ask. Just go to him and he knows what your issue is. Just go to him and lift up his name. You ever just got out by yourself and had a little praise time? We go to God with the gimmies, don't we? Lord, give me this and give me that. But we ought to go to the Lord and just praise him for who he is. And that's what these two girls did. They praised the Lord Jesus for his love for their brother Lazarus. They knew because they saw it with their own eyes. They knew that Jesus loved their brother. Wow. That's just absolutely phenomenal. That's a sermon right there. And so, Christian, listen, the next time you pray for divine help, please remember to praise the name of the Lord rather than giving God what you consider to be a list of all your wonderful merits and then give him a list of all the things you want him to do for you. Just go to him and say, Lord, thank you for who you are. Amen. And praise his wonderful name. Truth is, folks, I mean, when you get down to it, our merits, they're not much. Really, they're not worth much. They're not worth much to plea with God for anything. They're really not. I mean, you come to the Lord, you say, Lord, you know, I've been tithing for 118 years now. Lord, look at you and say, wait a minute, I died on the cross for you. See what I'm saying? Lord, I've done this and I've done that. Wait a minute. I had nails driven in my hands. I hung on that cross for 6 long hours. shedding my life's blood so that your old sinful soul could stay out of hell. What were you saying to me? Folks, we need to be giving our praise towards Him, commending Him for who He is. The Lord is the character that will intervene and give you help in your hour of trouble. So if you want help from the Lord in your troubles, then praise Him for who He is. Even in the midst of the trial that you are facing, give praise to the Lord, and in the midst of your trial, your praise will move the Lord to help you. Now, as I close tonight, there's one more thing, one more little thought that I want you to see. Folks, Lazarus' sickness eventually led to his death. His sickness eventually led to his death. And the girls were just devastated. They were shattered. They had seen the Lord do some mighty miracles in the past. They knew if He had showed up, Lazarus would not have died. They knew that. The girls were devastated. And when the Lord Jesus finally did show up, both of them said to the Lord, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." But now, get this. You see, sometimes the Lord delays His coming to our rescue. Sometimes he does. Sometimes we do not get the answer that we want. You know? Sometimes we don't get the answer in a split second like we want. But even though He was late getting there, here's the point. Eventually, He showed up. And when He showed up, He showed out. When He showed up, He did that which they all needed. He went over to the tomb and he said, "Roll the stone away." And those boys did. They rolled it away. The sister said, "Oh, don't, no, Lord, he's been in there 4 days now. He stinks by now. Don't open that thing." And the Lord Jesus looked down into that hole of death. And He cried, "Lazarus, come forth." You said, why did He call him by name? Because if he'd have just stuck his head in there and said, "Come forth," every soul in there would have come out. That's how much authority He has. Amen. "Lazarus, come forth." And boy, here come Lazarus right out of that tomb. "Loose him and let him go." My, what a Savior we serve. Lazarus still wrapped in the grave clothes, and Jesus proved to everyone standing there that He was exactly who He claimed to be. He proved that He was superior to everyone and to everything. Let's see you go out to the graveyard and do that. Let's see you go out there and stand over a grave and command that whoever's in there come out. You'll stand there till you dry rot. And you're not going to get anybody out of that grave. But let me remind you, folks, that the day is coming when our Savior's going to step out on the clouds and He's going to blow the trumpet. And when He does, the dead in Christ shall rise first. You see, he's the one that has the superiority. Why in the world would we want to go to someone else when the trials are upon us? Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight and just want to thank you so much for your word and for how the word of God gives us insight, gives us understanding. And Father, I pray that we've all gotten some insight and some understanding here this evening. Oh, the trials, we all go through them. But Father, help us to now understand that we need to look to the one who can handle any issue. We need to come to you and just praise your name and exalt your name and just get close to you. And Father, you show up when it's time, you show up. And then when you show up, you show out, you do something. Our friends can't do that. But Father, you can. And we rejoice in what you can do. And I pray that you will help all of us here tonight who are facing some kind of a trial. Father, may we just look to you and trust you. And may your grace be sufficient. We pray and ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.